very important. And that's why you see people saying they don't want to teach black history. They don't want us to learn about what our ancestors went through so we can have access to some of the rights we have. Because if you don't know the struggles and the sacrifices, we take so many things for granted. And when it comes to election and politics, we're really just too far behind. Mental health. So you're right. Guns are not killing people. People with mental health issues, those types of, okay, so we're the state legislature. We appropriate billions of dollars every year. So if the issue is mental health, what are we doing to increase the resources of mental health? And why I say that, because back in 2008, somewhere around there, we had what they call the Great Recession. And so every state agency had their budget cut because the money wasn't coming as projected. The economy was kind of slowing. And so when things started getting better, they started restoring funds to these agencies. Guess who was the last and probably never got restored? Mental health. So if the issue is not guns, and if it's mental health, we need to give mental health more resources so they can deal with the issues.
Yeah,
so
I don't think they took into consideration, especially like when you talk about already the gangs and stuff like that, in which a lot of that stuff trickles down, like I said, mental health, the school system, you know what I'm saying? So when you got some kids in there who are just turned 18, they're dealing with gangs, bullying and all that, I mean, I don't think they really considered that whole scenario of what could happen. It's like a
recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they did. They did. And yeah, this is what I told them, standing at the podium in the well of the Senate. I said, when y'all think about these crazy gun laws, y'all thinking about your golf club friends and people that have these, you know, that educated and try to be law-abiding. I said, that's what y'all thinking about. I said, but now, when this law passes,
everybody,
with a few exceptions, everybody, whether they're gangbangers or whatever, they're going to also have constitutional right to carry. And so what happened is that when they passed the bill, they made some exceptions, you know, some places you can't carry guns, like churches, unless you get permission from the leadership to have guns in church, close to schools, those types of things. But the other place that they made it illegal to carry guns is the state house, where we are. So I'm saying tonight, this is such a good bill, yeah, why can't yeah, people bring guns around?
Yeah.
So the fact that they made it clear that that was one of the exceptions, mm-hmm, tells me that they realize
you know better.
It's not good. It's not good.
And they know it's bad because, like, for your average person, you know, say if me and him get an altercation, average person daily probably going to fight or walk away. But then you got a coward, you already got a gun.
You just gave
him all the motivation he needed to just go off and shoot somebody for no reason. And then he could plead, I stood my ground. No, you didn't stand your ground. You went out like a coward.
And then the other thing with these guns is that, you know, a lot of these gang members and people like that, they have guns because the people that you want to have guns, that you want to say, this is my constitutional right to have guns, you can't infringe upon my constitutional right. So they have guns and they are irresponsible. So they'll leave the gun in the car at night, won't lock the car door, whatever. These kids walk running around. They don't have to break
proper
in the car.
Proper training.
Just open the door, man. Grabbing the gun from a law-abiding citizen who there's nothing in the law that says you have to have your gun secured. Just lay it right there. Yep. And so they're getting them. And they're, you know, you got drive-bys, you got carjacking, you got all kind of things with stolen weapons.
Circulating throughout the community.
So I still say it's the worst piece of legislation
that
ever came
in. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mentioned, you said you bring legislature to the floor, they won't accept it. Do you believe that's because they don't want to have their name attached to that vote?
No, because they could vote against it, but these are bills that benefit, like I said, a lot of times people I represent. It's not the people they represent. And so like Medicaid expansion is not a freebie. But you have people who work hard, but they have low-paying jobs. If the job offers insurance, they can't afford it. Give you an example. If you look at a school district, the insurance for, say, to cover your full family, it costs the same thing for the superintendent who's making six figures as it does for the cafeteria worker. The superintendent can afford it. The cafeteria may not be able to afford it. So Medicaid expansion will cover them. You know, so these people work hard, or it may be a position where they work hard, but the job is a small business. They don't offer, you know, health care. But to be completely honest, the reason why we don't have health care, Medicaid expansion in South Carolina is because when it first came out as part of the Affordable Care Act and health care, it was a Barack Obama initiative. And that bill was dead on arrival in South Carolina because it was something great that Barack Obama did for the people. And now that Barack Obama has been out of the White House now since, what, 2012, they still will not expand Medicaid. Now, we get a little closer every year, and I'm not saying it's going to pass when we go back, but it's going to have a better chance because some people are having a change of heart. Because what I hit them with was they were talking about the abortion bill. And they said, well, you know, you're killing all these babies, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, all the people we're killing because they don't have health care.
Yep.
You know, I said, so if you say you're pro-life,
come on.
Then what about these folks who are dying because they don't have health care, they don't have a family physician, they can't afford the prescription when the doctor write it. So now if you're pro-life, so we say you're not pro-life, you're pro-birth. You want everybody to be born, but when these babies are born, everything that we can do to help them, y'all vote again.
You can't have it both ways.
Preach.
Family planning. You want family planning, right. But you want to take away contraception.
Right. Exactly. That's right. So it's crazy. And I tell people, I said, listen, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if a woman never have an abortion. I'm not pro-abortion or pro-life. I'm for a woman having to make her choice and to have autonomy over her whole body. And what I'm saying, you got a whole party over here that says we don't want government involved in people's personal lives, but you want to tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her body. And so I hope and pray that if a woman gets an abortion, that's her decision, but hopefully she does it in consultation with her religious leader, whoever, and make the right decision. That's a touchy issue, but, you know, I served on a lot of subcommittees dealing with that issue. And I tell you, you know, we cannot put ourselves in those people's shoes. I had one young lady, and she came and she cried like a baby, because she said that she had an abortion because she knew she couldn't afford to take care of the baby, couldn't afford. And so we asked our colleagues, okay, which one of y'all want to adopt some of these babies? None of them do. And so, but it's, to me, it's a personal choice. And we got a bunch of men telling women what they can or cannot do with their body. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's none of my business. So we have five, maybe six now, female senators on both sides, Republican and Democrat, and they all are pro-choice. It's none of our business. You know, we just hope you make the right decision, but it's just, we would never know how these people are affected by those decisions. But like I said, when we're having those debates, they're pro-life. When we're trying to do things to help people live, they're not.
This episode is sponsored by Events by Sweet Pea LLC. CEO, Eartha Mae Hughes. Our mission at Events by Sweet Pea LLC is to provide and create seamless, lasting experience. Our services are impeccable and precise to leave every client with a smile. We will give you a lasting impression as we help your vision come alive. You can contact Eartha Mae Hughes at 803-983-4625. Again, 803-983-4625. And her email address is eventsbysweetpea104@gmail.com. Again, eventsbysweetpea104@gmail.com. Jerome Robinson MMA of Team Robinson MMA. A safe training environment that will enable students of all ages and backgrounds to grow physically and mentally. You can visit their website at www.imteamr.com for more information. If you're interested in being a sponsor, contact myself, Ernest Miller, at 803-565-9752. That's 803-565-9752. Or you can hit me up on my email at EAENEST Miller, eaenest.miller83@gmail.com. Again, that's eaenest.miller83@gmail.com. You can also make contact with my producer, Victor Wesley of Vic West Production. His telephone number is 803-225-0021. That's 803-225-0021. Also, his email address is vicwestp@gmail.com. That's vicwestp@gmail.com.
Oh, you think we behind the state of South Carolina law-wise? You think we just behind on everything?
I think we're behind on some things. I really do. Because when you look at a lot of things that other states are doing, and it's working well for them, and we're not doing it. Yeah. And I'm talking about states that are even more conservative than South Carolina, because you have a lot of states that's more conservative than South Carolina that have expanded Medicaid. They passed hate crime legislation. And so, but it's just a mentality here. And like I said, for some reason, the thought process is, oh, now when it hit home, then we can get together and talk about changing things.
I got two questions for you, and then we're going to get to bull crap. How important is for voters to stay informed even when it's not an election year? And my second question is, what are your plans for District 36?
Okay. The first question is very important. And that's why you see people saying they don't want to teach black history. They don't want us to learn about what our ancestors went through so we can have access to some of the rights we have. Because if you don't know the struggles and the sacrifices, we take so many things for granted. And when it comes to election and politics, we're really just too far behind. Because when I got yard signs everywhere in four counties, and I have a person that's a strong supporter of mine come to me, say, man, I didn't know you were running for election. You up? And I'm in the signs there all the way. I have people, I'm a state senator. I'm in Columbia. I have educated people say, hey, man, how things in Washington? You see President Obama, you know, it's really, they're just uninformed. So I had a lady call me the other day. She's from Sumter. She called the office, I called her back, and she was saying, we need to get the people informed, and we need this, and we need that. I said, ma'am, listen, I'm running for re-election. I have signs everywhere. I have radio ads on Marcus and Sumter and Orangeburg and Clarendon all over. We're spending a bunch of money. I said, I'm at every meeting I could go to talking about these things. I said, so, but you're not ever there. I said, you know, you all have to come out and get this information. But really, there's a lot of people. We have fallen back on being informed, and it's hurting us. Because we have now, because of not being informed, we have a lot of young African Americans who are saying how much they love Donald Trump. And I'm going to support Trump. And I mean,
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just, before you came in, I was just telling them that. Yeah. I was telling them I was listening to the radio station, and they was at, Howard University?
That's correct.
And they was talking to a lot of the youth there, the students there, mm-hmm. and all of them was for Donald Trump.
That's what I'm saying. And it's because of not being informed. And one thing I would blame the Biden administration for, because I find it ironic that anybody want to talk about his age when he's only like 2 or 3 years older than Trump.
Yeah,
he's old.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Old. Yeah. So what are we really talking about?
The Obama administration have done a lot of great things for African Americans, for everybody really, but they haven't done a good job of, it's their message.
Putting it out there.
And you know, you don't want to have to go out there and brag and say, I did this and I did that.
Sometimes you got to,
it's,
man.
It's a campaign.
Yeah,
season.
It's campaign. You got to, man.
And so now we have people with student loan debt blaming Biden. But the other folks blocked it. He wanted to do it. He's doing some, but when he wanted to do it en masse, the other people blocked it. So he can say, I want to do this, that, and whatever. But if the people block it, you know, you can't blame him. So they have to do a better job with their messaging because, you know, everybody talk about the economy. And I would say this, inflation is real and prices are high, but the economy is booming. Everywhere I go, you can't find a park at restaurants. You can't find a park at malls and everything. People are spending money. And a lot of the reason why I think that that the inflation is here is because, let's take, for example, because one of the biggest things people complain about is the price of grocery, right? So what the administration is doing, they're trying to make sure that these kids from poor households can eat. So they're increasing, they don't call it food, SNAP benefits. They're increasing that. And so these grocers, They're saying, oh, they got more money to spend on groceries. I'm going to raise the prices.
Inflation. And that's what's happening. That's inflation.
And people talking about, you know, I said, listen. I said, the people who are benefiting the most off of SNAP benefits, for example, it's not the family to get $200 or $300 or $400 a month. It's the Walmarts and the Piggly Wiggles and the folks that own these groceries. They're the one that's benefiting from it. But what happens is that's just like when we do things to hold tuition down. Like when we first did the Hope Scholarship and Life Scholarship, what do colleges do? Oh, they got more money. We could raise tuition. And so what we're doing now every year for the last few years, we're giving these colleges and universities more money from the state budget so they can freeze tuition and not have to raise tuition. And pretty much anybody in South Carolina can go to a technical school and get a free technical college education. So I got off track.
To be continued. Make sure you check out the next episode. And also you make sure you like, subscribe, and comment on my YouTube channel, The Mill Experience. And now we also on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. Make sure you download. Peace.